Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome to Good Things Radio. So glad you're here. This is episode number 69. My name is Brooke Taylor, and here we go. We have a brand new month. We're beginning a new season, and I feel like just one show a week isn't enough. There's so much to cover and talk about, so we're going to try to get it all in. And coming up on the show today, we've got Back to School, which for me is kind of a resurrection of the Daily Planner. It is coming to life anew, trying to get that done, and we'll talk a little bit about that, just running a tight ship, trying to hope there's no mutiny, and getting laundry, recipes, everything back in full swing. Bible studies. Are you in one? Have you done one before? Listener Vanessa was sharing a really good study about the book of Sirach, and that might be of interest. So we're going to look at that as well. And Lectio Divina. What is it? How can it help you? Father Nathan is going to educate us also with a Padre in your pocket. He's back. And it's September. So we want to cover that with just a few things coming up this month, as well as an upcoming movie and the Arise Retreat. April 21st through the 23rd, it's Divine Mercy Weekend. If you don't have it on your calendar, I hope you'll mark it down, and some exciting news to share about that. And if we get time, I want to talk Target. Earlier this spring, we talked about their bathroom policy issue change. I've actually not stepped foot in a Target since April, and I'll be honest, I have missed it. I have felt like I broke up with somebody, you know, like when you're young and you break up, because when I go by Target, I think about Target and what's going, like, what's Target doing? What you doing, Target? What's new in there? But I don't want to go in there because Target's not part of my life anymore. But it's also been a blessing. And now there were just some articles that came out in the news that Target's stocks are down. Their sales have dropped, so Target is hurting. And there was also a story that I had a couple weeks, a month back maybe, about a man who had gone into a fitting room. It was the women's dressing room, because you can do that. Whatever you identify with, you can go ahead and go right in. You're not asked any questions. And he was spying, peeping on young girls, women who were changing. And yet Target standing by this policy. So they're paying for it now. Consumers not feeling safe, not trusting them. On the other hand, I heard from a friend who had to go to Target to pick something up, and she said, it is packed. If anyone's boycotting it, clearly this one isn't being affected. But turns out they are, and it is working. And what Father Nathan said that really prompted and inspired me to go for it was, it's not about hurting the thing or the person or the company. It's about strengthening yourself. This is between you and God to say, all right, Lord, are you calling me to this? And if so, I'm going to say yes. And it's going to strengthen my own self, my self-discipline, my resolve. And also in the dialogue you have with your family, I might not be able to boycott everything, but you can do one thing. And a lot of you evidently have. So if we have time, we want to talk a little bit about that as well. Lots coming up on the show. So let's jump on in.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping.
Oh, yes, it does. Keep on slipping by as another school year starts. I have that feeling in a big way. Kids growing up, they're in a new grade already, getting taller. And this is a new month, which is actually a pretty big one when you look kind of at the church calendar as well. So just in terms of feast days. So I'm going to check off a few notable dates for the month of September. And that will also actually be where our prayer comes in for the beginning of the show. So here we go. First, September is a month dedicated to Our Lady of Sorrows. And according to Catholic culture, due to her feast day on September 15th, the month of September has traditionally been set aside for Our Lady of Sorrow. So that'll be coming up on the 15th. Also, the big bell ringing, excitement, cheering moment is that Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta is officially canonized. Beautiful service. Thank you, EWTN, for televising that. And then the night before, running a lot of special features about her life. I wish all of the networks would do this, but God bless EWTN. That was great. Also, if you get a chance, Pants listener Catherine, who you may have heard a couple episodes back sharing her testimony on Voxer. She wrote a reflection based on a photograph of the feet of Mother Teresa. And I hope that alone, if you haven't seen the picture, will be enough to inspire you to look at her beautiful feet, a holy beauty, as well as read her absolutely inspiring reflection that she wrote. You can find it on the Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook and the Good Things Radio page, like the page if you haven't already, you can check it out there and read what she had to write. So September 8th, that is Our Lady's birthday. It's the Nativity of the Blessed Mother Mary. September 12th is actually the Feast of the Most Holy Name of Mary, Ave Maria. There are so many beautiful holy names. Mary comes under that title. The 15th is the theme for the month. It's Our Lady of Sorrows. September 17th, Feast of St. Hildegard of Bingen. There's a great movie, by the way, called Vision. I saw it on Netflix. Not sure if it's still there. Yes, it's another one in subtitles. I need to be called Subtitles Brooke because that's evidently the only kind of movie that I like, but it's so good. It's about her life, and it really takes you into the time in which she lived in the Middle Ages, and that's a good one. She was a brilliant woman, though. Astronomer, mystic, great one to study on that day, her feast day coming up on the 17th. September 23rd, one of the big, big feast days for those especially that love Italian culture, that love our modern saints. It's St. Pio, St. Padre Pio, and he, what a story, has such a life. He was a stigmatist. He was also a mystic. He was a mama's boy. He loved Our Lady, Blessed Mother, and he also was tough as nails. He was also capable of bilocating, so that day, his feast day, coming up on the 23rd of September. The 26th, St. Isaac Jogues, he was a Jesuit. St. Vincent de Paul, he lived in the 17th century, he was from France. There are still a lot of St. Vincent de Paul societies that really bear the torch of what he was about. He helped the poor, he established hospitals for the sick, and so yes, his feast day is September 27th. The Feast of St. Wenceslas is September 28th, and all I can think about is the first piano piece that I learned. Good King Wenceslas last looked out on the Feast of Stephen, and you know the rest, but that's actually a true story, that he was assassinated by his younger brother, who was jealous. And I mean, you read these stories and think, why do they make up any new plots for Hollywood action movies? You just have to look at these lives of saints, and they really are extraordinary. So that's coming up. And then September 29th, one of my favorite of the year, and that's the Feast of the Archangels. So that's Michael and Gabriel and Raphael. It's also called Michaelmas. And for us, we usually make a whole theme out of it. We have angel hair pasta. That's usually our typical dinner. So that's on the 29th. Then September 30th is the Feast of St. Jerome. I love Jerome. I always heard he had a temper. So for my one child who gets angry, he's the one I always say, ask for Jerome's intercession. And of course, the big one in the month of September, especially if you live in the United States of America, is 9/11, the 15th anniversary of 9/11.
I can hear you! I can hear you! The rest of the world hears you! And the people... these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Wow. That brings back a flood of memories 15 years later. And then thinking about where we are today in our country. In the beginning of that speech, actually, if you watch it, it's on YouTube. In the beginning, he's at Ground Zero, that's President Bush, and he says that America was on bended knee. And I think we need to be there still. We're coming up on the 15-year anniversary, obviously a very big election in which we need, our nation needs prayers more than ever for God's mercy, for a conversion of our people, for the humble heart, the heart of a servant for our leaders. Lord knows we need that. So kind of to dovetail on that, I wanted to share something that a friend of mine sent, and it was a link to a homily by Father John Ricardo. Father John, if you hear to EWTN, he's on there on EWTN Radio. He also has a podcast, and you can find this homily on Lisbon. Also, we'll link it up in the podcast notes as well, but as we approach this anniversary, the 15-year anniversary of 9/11, and in the spirit of the speech we just heard from President Bush, I wanted to play a portion of the homily for you, and it will also act as kind of the opening prayer of the program. Take a listen.
We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. but we have forgotten God. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Given this 30th day of March in the year of our Lord, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln.
Father John then goes on to point out those words were not shared from a pulpit. It was the leader, the presidents of our country. He encouraged then, if you listen to the full homily, his parish, everyone at his church, to fast every Wednesday until the end of the year. And I loved that challenge. I took it as a personal challenge. I got to be honest, I am not someone that fasts in Lent when it's Ash Wednesday, and then a few times during Holy Week I might fast, but as a regular practice, it's not something I do. And he really makes a compelling argument for Christ himself in the Bible saying, in the gospel, not if you fast, but when you fast, and how some things can only come about through fasting. And if you're like me, worried about the state of our nation, worried about what future our children will inherit, and this is a good idea. So now till the end of the year is the challenge. Every Wednesday, how it works is that you only consume liquids until dinner, and that's one day a week. So if you want to hear the full homily, hear how he kind of brings it forward, you can do that. Again, we'll link it up, and the notes will be on the Podbean page as well. And speaking of prayers and fasting and holy priests, one of our favorite here, it's Father Nathan Cromley.
Padre in your pocket, on good things great deal.
Okay, so the topic today is Lectio Divina. What is it? How can it help you? What does it mean? A friend of mine, a Protestant, asked recently about it, and I thought the best thing to do was actually point her to Padre in Your Pocket, a Father Nathan Cromley answer, which is always wise and spot on. So here you go. It's Father Nathan.
Hello, ladies. This is Father Nathan, and I'm glad to be back with you for another episode of Padre in Your Pocket. And Brooke this time has asked me to give you some insights on Lectio Divina. The word itself, the phrase itself, actually, might sound a little bit odd, Lectio Divina. It's two words in Latin. Lectio means reading, and Divina, of course, means divine. So it's kind of like, well, you could have Lectio Magazina, I guess, reading of magazines. Lectio Booka, no, I'm just joking, of course, Lectio, reading of books. And then Lectio Divina, reading of the divine. And so that shows you right away what we're talking about here. In usual English parlance, we speak about Bible sharing or Bible study. And of course, that's a very beautiful thing. To study the Bible is what it's all about. Lectio Divina would be kind of like the Catholic equivalent of that. But it goes deeper. Because when you read the divine word, you engage it at a level that's deeper than just comprehension. You allow it to interact with you. You allow him, the divine word, Jesus Christ, to dwell with you. So when you engage in Lectio Divina, or reading of the Bible from a Catholic perspective, although of course it's open to all Christians, it's not just a Catholic thing, but why we use that phrase is what I want to say, is that what we're trying to do is dwell with the Word of God, the person, Jesus, and allow him to teach us about the Father. So the perspective I take when I open my Bible to do Lectio Divina or to read the Bible in deep faith is one of hunger for Jesus. And so, of course, I start with the text. So let's suppose I start with John chapter 5. I would actually read the text, try to understand what I can out of it. But then I would read it slowly, and I would actually recommend, ladies, that you read it out loud, because it changes something. When you hear the word and you read it out loud, there are nuances that come forth from the text. So you read it once, then you read it again, and you pray to the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's the actual source of that text. He's the real author who wrote it. And so you listen to what he's saying to your heart, and you look for things that strike you, that stand out. And there's all kinds of different ways you can do it. The best way to dwell with a text, to dwell with Jesus, is by, when you read it, being attentive to it as if those words were spoken to you directly by him immediately. In other words, don't just read the text like, okay, this is some sort of like, you know, reading, I wonder what it means. Have each sentence of it be proclaimed to you by the voice of the Holy Spirit. So you listen to it differently. You listen to it as if the Holy Spirit were speaking to you, or as if it were a love letter written to you by Jesus himself. And it's written to you in this day, now. And then you allow yourself to dialogue. So after you've read it through a couple times, you respond. You go back to God, to Jesus, through the text. Lord, what did you mean when you said this? Or, Lord, when you said this, it makes me think of this. And so I'm praying now for this. When you said, I am the bread of life, Lord, you are my bread. You are the one for whom I hunger. And I beg you to give me your flesh and your blood to eat and drink as my daily food. I'm sorry for not going to Mass. Like, you start to have like a dialogue with him, where the word is his message to you, and your prayer is your message back to him. And the two of you sit with one another, and you lean on his breast like St. John, and you give your all to him who gives his all to you.
Thank you, Father Nathan. And speaking of biblical prayer, last year, there's a show entitled Good Morning Girls, one of our earlier podcast episodes, that I mentioned this Good Morning Girls, Women Living Well Bible study. My friend Courtney is the founder. She's a blogger and just fabulous. And I did this Bible study a year ago with some girlfriends and absolutely loved it. We started in the book of Numbers, which I thought at first was going to be terrible because of all the books you could start with, Numbers would not be number one on my list. I would think a gospel or, you know, even the Psalms or something. But I loved Numbers. And in fact, I would love to do it again because I learned so much. So now Vanessa was kind enough to share the information about a Bible study specifically covering the book of Sirach. And so for our non-Catholic listeners, the book of Sirach is one of the seven books not in the Protestant Bible. Like if you have a King James Bible, for instance. So Protestants would call it apocryphal. We would refer to it as deuterocanonical. And books like Wisdom, Judith, Maccabees, Baruch, Tobit, and also the longer versions of Esther and Daniel. The book of Sirach, just in context, existed in the time of Christ himself. So Jesus would have studied it. And here's the thing too, no Bible with just 66 books existed until before the 16th century. And that was Luther establishing new beliefs. So I'm not going to go into that. I'm not an apologist. I'm not going down that trail. But I'm just saying, this is why I think it's worth studying. And the book of Sirach shares, I'm going to read this now. It's ethical teachings written by a Jewish scribe as an inspiration of his father. It's also referred to as Ecclesiasticus, or the wisdom of Jesus, the son of Sirach. And it covers everything from wise proverbs, even a portion of Our Father, and a book that would really be, I think it would be worth studying. I've read it, but I've never studied it. So here's what Vanessa said. If you're interested in doing that, there's a blog called thelittlestway.com. If you check it out, you can get the full scoop. The blogger is going to be selling the Bible study journal, if you want to follow along, on September 8th. You can get it on Amazon. And it's the birthday of Our Lady, so I like that she did that. But also, you can follow along. If you don't want to get the journal, you can still do the study, and all the information is going to be on thelittlestway.com. And I'd love to hear from you if you do it, because maybe it's something that we could do as a Good Things Radio community. If there's interest, we could form a group. Last year, that's what we did via text. There were a group of women. We texted each other, and through through that, it blessed me more than I imagined, because it was kind of a Lectio Divina. You're hearing Christ speak to these women through these words, and what is he telling them? And then you're reading their reflection. So it really was a neat thing. And with text, it's not bombarding you. You can look at it when you have time, think about it, and go back to what you're doing. So let me know if you're interested. We can post that. And also, I will share on the show notes the link also to thelittlestway.com.
Sitting in the darkness, what a world to see. Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
Movie time. So one of my favorite contemporary Christian music artists, and that's called CCM. So I'm giving you the radio lingo now. So in radio, everything is broken down by a format code, like hot AC is hot adult contemporary. That's that kind of music. And CCM is contemporary Christian music. It's sacred music that's modern worship and has kind of, you know, I mean, you've heard it. It's a wide mix of styles from Matt Maher to Toby Mac. And one of my favorite groups from the last few years is Hillsong, Hillsong United. They're kind of different variations of their two. Hillsong Young and Free. Hillsong United is just a beautiful group, though, from Australia. And there's a movie that's actually coming out about their ministry. And one kind of disclaimer I want to share is that I know the topic of sacred music can be controversial, but some people, and it's really backed up by theology, really only believe that the kind of music you should listen to is chant, is Benedictine monk music type, or hymns. Other people, anything goes. And modern worship music is kind of in between that. You don't want to be departed too much or away from scripture or compromising or be in error, but it can also be a powerful tool to elevate us to our Creator, and that's what it's about. So Hillsong is doing an amazing job, and I follow them on YouTube. In fact, recently they were in the Holy Land. They were on the Sea of Galilee, and they were performing their song Oceans, which is amazing. And by the way, side note for another time, if you're interested in going to the Holy Land, mark that on your calendar too, because I think that's where the Lord is calling us next. We're looking maybe at next year, and then I'm zipping my lip. That's all I'm saying. But that's where Hillsong United was. And this movie is worth checking out. It's called Let Hope Rise. It's coming to theaters in September. Here's the thing, though. It's limited release, so you have to go to the website. It's lethoperise.com. Punch in your zip code and just see if it's playing near you. In the meantime, check out the trailer.
The only thing that matters about our story is everything that we do represents the heart of God.
There was this underground movement. We'd do these events and there'd be thousands turning up.
If God's hand is on something, people are going to be where he is.
When I walked into Hillsong, I knew my life was different.
When I started a church, I wanted to have a church that wrote songs that influenced the way people worship.
Back in the early days, our focus was our city, and then there was this beyond factor.
Where has Daddy been?
In America.
I believe that God created music for the sole purpose to connect the human heart, our soul, with heaven.
I want to create something that's going to help people.
Being a producer, you're supposed to bring the best out of people. It's hard to be that character when I'm feeling a bit lost.
They ran a bunch of tests and they said he's got two holes in his heart. I mean, we felt pretty helpless.
You could feel the force of people praying around the world for Elliot.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders.
Music has always been something that connects me to God straight away. And I realize, who am I to like lead these people? I'm just a country girl.
Is it to sing the melody for me for a second?
The challenge is to write a new record. I really want to hear what God wants to say. Time to listen, time to breathe, time to clear out all the noise. I really want to hear from heaven.
I love these words. I love this music.
The music is like nothing I've ever heard. And I just felt this hard shell around my heart just begin to crack open.
Does everything make sense? Absolutely not. But I think more stuff doesn't make sense without him.
On the subject of sacred music, Pope Benedict Emeritus XVI writes this. He says, to sing is one of the most commonly used words in the Bible. It occurs 309 times in the Old Testament, 36 in the New Testament. When man comes into contact with God, mere speech is not enough. Areas of his existence are awakened that spontaneously turn into song. Indeed, man's own being is insufficient for what he has to express. So he invites the whole of creation to become a song with him. Awake my soul. I give thanks to you, O Lord, among the people. And there it is. I think that's what they're doing, and we need it in a time more than ever where people have lost their song. So I say take your youth group, take your grandma, take your kids, go for a date night if it's playing near you, and I think it's one that you watch, then go to a coffee shop and talk about it. What is it that moves you to sing? Is there anything? And I would love to know this for my own kids, my own teenager. And again, the website is lethoperise.com. All you have to do is punch in your zip code. It will locate a nearby theater. And let me know what you think. Our closest location is about an hour away, so I'm hoping that it will go to Amazon or Netflix after it comes out. And if you do check it out, let us know what you think.
Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen.
And last but not least, some exciting news about the 2017 Arise Retreat. It will be the weekend of April 21st through the 23rd, Loyola Retreat House in Clinton, Ohio. And so this is the exciting news flash. That is, Father Nathan Cromley will indeed return to be with us at the retreat. Okay, so here's the deal. It's not going to be for the entire weekend, but it will be for at least a day or two. And trust me, if you know Father Nathan, he can do a lot during that time. And it's really only a weekend anyway. So at this point, my prayer is, Lord, help us get it all in the time that we have. Here's what we know for the weekend, for the Arise Retreat. Taylor Tripodi will be our worship artist, extraordinary singer. She'll also be headlining the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference, lots of other events that she's doing. Blessed that she said yes to us. Also, Linda Isaiah, speaker, grief counselor, amazing woman, and will be leading Bible study, also just kind of a small group leader. The Children of Mary will be leading a healing holy hour. And then, of course, Father Nathan. And in and on top of that is food, dessert, holy leisure, fellowship fun, lodging, relaxation, meeting new friends, this all the weekend of Divine Mercy. Here's the catch, though, is that we only have room for 60 women, and tickets are going to fly. So I wish, and maybe next year we'll expand the venue, make it bigger, but for now, 60 women, all of that in just a few days. And I'm a big believer in Holy Spirit divine dates. So those who are called to be there will come. And the tickets are going to be on sale sometime this month. So write that down too, sometime the end of September. And just for you, like we did last time, pre-sale only and exclusively to Good Things Radio listeners. So you'll get first dibs before anyone else, and we'll keep you posted. But just write that down. Know that Father Nathan is going to be there. The weekend is already locked in, and it is going to be beautiful. And as always, just asking for your prayers as we walk forward in obedience with the team, with everyone called to come to make this event beautiful. And there you have it. I told you so much to cover in so little time, and we didn't really get a chance to do the target topic, but maybe next time, maybe the Bible study we can go into a little bit more. I also had a really good recipe. I want to break that out again too as we begin to get organized and back to school. I never made spaghetti squash before, but for the first time, I bought one and said, if I don't use it, this thing is going to rot and it will be thrown away. And if I can remember off the top of my head, I think it's something like this. It's 350 degrees in the oven for like 25 minutes. And then you scoop out the inside, and the inside is like spaghetti, but it's squash. And I personally loved it. I thought it was wonderful. You put sauce over it and heat it up, and it fed our entire family. We've got Vivian, so that's six kids, plus my husband and I. Made some vegetables, made some bread, made a salad. It was healthy. So that's one tip, a back-to-school dinner. If you've got a meal or recipe, let us know, please. Lots to cover for our next show. This time around, though, thank you for being a part of episode number 69. If you'd be so kind, we humbly ask that you leave a review on iTunes. It helps others find the show. It tells Apple, hey, there's a little program out there worth people finding out about. Also on Podbean as well. We invite you to subscribe on Podbean, download the app. That way you won't miss an episode. And it's also a place that you can donate and be part of our Good Things Radio Good Friend family. Donate $1 an episode, $5 a month, $10 a month. There's no minimum, no maximum. You can find out there when you go to the crowdfunding page at Good Things Radio. And as always, feedback at goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach out, share your input and thoughts about the show. Thank you, as always, to my wonderful producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. So to find out more, visit him at cumminghomestudio.com. Until next time, friends, God bless you. And thank you for being a part of Good Things Radio.